Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm your host, Chris Stainis, and I'm also the founder of Woman of Wisdom Foundation. I am interviewing our presenters for our 29th annual Woman of Wisdom Conference, which is March 11th through the 14th. And this year it is virtual, as everything is in our lives these days. So I'm so excited about that. And today I'm interviewing our longtime presenter, Reverend Judith Laxer. She has been a constant since 1995. So, about Judith Laxer, if you don't know her, she's a modern day mystic who believes that humor, beauty, and the wonders of nature make life worth living. Judith has studied the art of writing for over a decade at Hugo House, Corporal Writing, and Imprint Books. Her work has been published in 3 anthologies and in print and online magazines and newspapers, including the WOW newsletter. She's doing a monthly column there now. Judith dedicates her work to restoring the balance between feminine and masculine energy in our culture. She is giving a workshop on Saturday afternoon, March 13th. It's called Right Now, From the Body to the Page. So welcome, Judith.
Thank you, Chris. Lovely to be here.
Yeah, so I think I miss telling what your book is. Tell us what your book title is.
Yes, my book title is Along the Wheel of Time, Sacred Stories for Nature Lovers. And it's a collection of 8 short stories that accompany the points on the pagan wheel of the year, the solstices and the equinoxes and the cross quarter days. So they're little fictional stories depicting everyday people like you and me, ordinary people living extraordinarily magical lives. So,
yeah, it's great. I have a copy. I recommend people getting it. So tell us about yourself, the journey as a priestess mystic, and then that shift to writing.
Yeah, well, you know, I think they've kind of been hand in hand for a good long time, because when your work in the world is as a priestess and also as the founder of Gaia's Temple, you know, I've been writing and offering worship services for over 20 years now. Gaia's Temple, we just celebrated our 20th anniversary last September. And so, you know, learning how to take your sensibilities and your understandings about certain things and how to articulate them to express them is, you know, a skill set that I have been working on for a long time. So I love writing. I've always loved words and the spoken word and poetry. But I do find that in the third act of my life, it's really kind of, it's taking center stage, you know. I just love it. I just love to write. And I've loved what I've learned about writing. And I've loved teaching some writing workshops now too, you know, just to see how transformative they can be.
Yeah, that's great. And I have to say, I mean, I've known you a long time and I have seen the growth in your writing and even just your newsletters. That's why we put your newsletter letter in our newsletter now, because there's just gems of wisdom that you have.
Thank you so much.
Don't blush. So usually you've done more of a goddess workshop at the conference. Why did you choose writing this year?
Well, I'm looking for, you know, some different things, to offer some different things. I like to keep my work fresh. To me, this isn't really that much of a jump away from goddess spirituality, because the intention for this workshop is writing from the body. And, you know, goddess spirituality is embodied, right? I mean, that's what we've been seeking to do for so long as women, and finding our own empowerment is to, you know, become, to befriend who we are within our bodies, and to befriend our bodies in particular. And so I just have this idea that, you know, offering up a workshop in which we bring those two things together, who we are as embodied beings and how we can express that in words, just seemed like a nice little connection, you know? And so I just decided, well, I'll just offer that up and see if they like it. And sure enough, you did, which I'm really grateful.
Yes, we did write it. We accepted it to the conference because the importance of writing, and particularly because one of our sub themes is about stories, women telling their stories.
Right.
You know, that's all about writing. And I know a lot of people are a little self-conscious of writing their stories or think they can't write. And interesting, you know, about the body, because we store a lot of knowledge in our body and sometimes we don't tap into it. So I imagine you're going to be using some tools, whether it's meditation, to get people to tap into what are we feeling in our bodies.
Yes, and what we're carrying in our bodies, that's a big piece of it. Like every single thing we have experienced in our lifetime, whether we can consciously remember it or not, is somehow stored in our body's memory. Mm-hmm. And so using those sort of physical embodiment awarenesses to bring some of those stories, some of those memories to the fore and express them, I think is a very, it's a great healing modality, you know, because we mm-hmm. do carry those stories. We carry our understanding of what's happened to us or our lack of understanding of what's happened to us. We carry traumas, we carry bliss, we carry pain, we carry wounds, we carry understandings and what's the word that I'm looking for? Like perspectives, like all of this, I think we think it's up here in our head. And of course, a lot of it is, but if you think of our head as the, you know, our brain that's inside our skull, it's in our body, it's in our muscles, it's in our blood and our bloodstream and in our heart rate and, you know, just the sense of being touched or when we have a pain, there's a story there. And it's kind of like a threshold or an entry point into bringing us into the fullness of what that story is. And I think, you know, we can look at women's plight for centuries and centuries and being, you know, suppressed and silenced and not really given opportunities to express the truth of who we are and our own personal stories has been a lot of why, well, I think a lot of why this world is so terribly, terribly imbalanced and why the wounds that we have received, even on a cellular level, you know, memories, if you believe in reincarnation from lifetime after lifetime, right. Or if you don't, then, you know, evidence now, epigenetics is saying that we are carrying the memories of our grandmothers and great grandmothers, you know, so even if it's just an ancestral story, we are carrying that in our bodies. And writing is one way, it's not the only way, but it's one way, and it's a very accessible way to release those stories, to offer up those stories, and to move what might be difficult or even joyful, you know, out to the fore, out to where we can see it and be with it. And there's something really healing and cathartic about that.
And as listening to you, I think also what can happen is it can bring up a lot of fears. And so some people may just be, you know, a little timid or a little afraid to go to that place. And yet, that's where the healing comes and the release that you feel from having expressed something or discovered something. Like I can imagine, you know, I don't know what you're going to do in your workshop, but I can just imagine putting my hands on my belly and feeling, okay, what is my belly telling me right now? What's it feeling? And let it speak and write, let the belly write, you know.
Right. And I want to address what you just said about the fear about some of the stuff that can come up, because I have worked with people where, you know, there's a reason why the body holds some of these things, because our conscious awareness can't cope, right? Like it goes into our liver, it goes into our kneecap, it goes into our bunion, you know, it goes somewhere and it lodges there because we can't stay conscious of it if it's been particularly painful. So my plan for that in the workshop is a couple of things. First of all, we're going to create sacred space. So there is a container in which we'll be held. We're not just asking people to, you know, open up their hearts and guts and souls and just, you know, pour them out fearlessly if they are not feeling fearless. There's no have-tos in this workshop anyway, but one way to create a safety is to create a container. That. So I always do that by creating some sacred space. And then of course we'll have agreements about confidentiality also. You know, I always ask the people who take my classes and workshops, you know, rave about them to everybody you know. Tell everybody, sure, go see Judith for this and that and the other. But the content of what happens, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas essentially. So there'll be a sense of confidentiality within the circle, and we'll ask all of the women in it to, you know, agree to that. So between sacred space and confidentiality, then we can take a deep breath, and that makes it a little bit easier for the stuff to come up. But I also don't expect people to go to their worst or most difficult, you know, there's not, like I said, there's no have-tos. You don't, there's nothing to prove here. What I'd like to happen in this workshop is for women to learn a method to move energy that might be stuck about a story that they're holding. It doesn't mean our memories are going to be wiped out, but we hold them differently once they're on the page. And that's why the tagline is from the body to the page, because when it's still held in the body, we are not always so conscious of what's going on. But once it's on the page, we put it somewhere, you know, that gives us a sense of some power over it, I think, you know.
Right. And there's a witnessing going on, even if it's just the paper witnessing it or your hand witnessing it, or if you're sharing with a partner in the workshop, there is a witnessing and there's healing in that of just letting something go and speaking it out loud. So even if you don't have an opportunity in the workshop, I would imagine it'd be very powerful to people to take these writings home and read them out loud or record them and listen to yourself to that story.
Yes, there's something about the, you know, it's articulating it and expressing it and getting it out of the body. That's like releasing a burden, you know, like the wounds, they're burdensome. Pains are burdensome. They're debilitating over time, right? I mean, we all have aches and pains. Right. The longer they go on, the harder it is, you know? So if there's a way to put that burden down, lay that burden down by putting it on the page, that is very, very helpful. I found it very helpful for me personally. Not to mention, I think that, you know, in my bio, I say, you know, beauty and the wonders of nature, humor, beauty, and the wonders of nature make life worth living. That beauty part is really, really important to me. And that comes under the heading of making art. And when we look around at what's going on in our world today, there's some ugly stuff happening and difficult stuff to have happening, not just this past year with the pandemic, which that alone, I mean, we could probably spend hours just writing about our experiences there, but just everywhere we look in our world, I mean, there's beauty and there's wonderful things also, but you know, these are dire times. These are those interesting times, and to carry that inside our body is heavy. And the burden of releasing that is wonderful, and making it into art is beautiful. And so I think to counter the ugliness that's going on in our world, we need to create as much beauty as we can in our environment, in our words, in our music, in every way that we can. And writing is one way.
And you could be writing, like you said, we've been going through hard times and, you know, painful times, and we could be writing those, which then can move you, that's releasing them, which then can move you towards getting to the beauty parts.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean, all of us have seen like movies or read books that made us weep or that were like really, really difficult. And yet they're also beautiful in their own way. And there is a beauty about telling even the hardest of stories. It keeps us human, keeps us connected. It reminds us that we're not alone. So often when we hear these stories, you know, we go, oh my God, I can relate to that. I know exactly what that feels like. Oh, that happened to me. Or, oh yeah, I know what he's talking about. You know, and there's something about that also, to know that we're not in this alone. I do also want to talk, because you mentioned before about, you know, people not feeling like they're writers or they can, you know, be good at writing. This is not about that. This is not about who's the best writer. This is just about being able to articulate and express, find, articulate and express stories, the stories that we hold in our bodies. And anybody who can write the English language can do it. It's not about who's the best writer or who's a better writer than anyone else. It's really just about finding that expression. So people who are not writers or don't think of themselves as writers, doesn't matter. Everybody's welcome. And it's easy for anyone to do once the environment is created that is conducive toward it, you know, and that's what I plan to do.
And it's not a competition. So you're writing for yourself. And I think we kind of get this mind block, like, whether you think you're a writer or not, that, especially if someone shares a story, oh, I have such a poignant story. I couldn't give a story like that. I couldn't speak.
Right.
And yet everybody has a story. And when you, as I learned it many years ago, that if I had a nudge that I was to share a story, there was always somebody who said, oh, I'm so glad you said that, because someone will relate to it.
Right.
Exactly. It'll touch somebody's heart. It'll touch somebody else to share, oh, I've been feeling that way too. I thought I was all alone. You know, there's that isolation feeling, like, you know, that you're all alone and you're the only one that feels that way. And that's not true. Once you start sharing, you find that's not true.
Exactly. And a lot of that, you know, holding that stuff in is, you know, shame based. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one. Ooh, I better not tell anybody or I won't yeah. belong any longer. And I mean, so that's like adding a wound on top of already something that is wounded, you know. And just this whole thing about it's not a competition, you know, I really think that in this patriarchal culture, everything is set up to be a competition. And what I think is so beautiful about women's work and about what we are doing to help balance that overly masculinized paradigm that we're living in is to drop the competition. It isn't. It's about interconnectedness. It's about relatedness. Just like you said, oh, I'm so glad you told that story, Chris, because I have the same thing going on. Instead of, oh, her story's more important than mine. That is really a patriarchal mindset. And I think women are working to break that down. And this is another way that we do it, like with conferences like Women of Wisdom, where we come together to share, not to try to best one another. Mm-hmm. That's such a masculine concept.
And it's so out there in our culture that we get caught up in it too. We start thinking outside ourselves, looking outside ourselves rather than inside ourselves.
And we've all been enculturated into that.
Yeah. So we all do it. We have to catch ourselves.
We do.
And I'm learning myself to stop that voice. You know, like, wait a minute, where does that come from? Who's been telling me that? It's really not my voice.
And conferences like this are so important because they're opportunities to practice that different way of doing it.
Mm-hmm, yes. And practice makes perfect. It's like practice, like, you know, with our circle format, even when we have planning committee meetings that sit in a circle, or you have a circle and you're sharing things about yourself, that the more you do it, the more safe you feel to do it.
Right.
And the more healing happens.
The easier it becomes.
Yes.
Yeah. And also you're modeling how it's done. So those who are just joining the circle or those who aren't practiced at it can see, oh, look, you can do that and not die. You know, you can participate in something like this and it's not going to do you in, or you're not going to be, you know, shamed or humiliated or any of the things that we fear when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. You know, I was working with a client the other day who just had a rather harrowing surgical procedure. And I was giving her a reading, you know, a tarot reading. And the reading was all about how insecure she's feeling in her relationship. And I didn't see any evidence of why she should be insecure in her relationship. And then it occurred to me, you know, oh, you are still vulnerable from that surgery. And vulnerability and insecurity, like they are, you know, they hold hands really tightly. And it's very easy for one thing to sort of wash into all these other places in our lives. And that's another reason why writing like this is so important, because you focus in, you're honing in on one particular story and you're getting it out. I mean, I'm planning on doing a couple of different exercises and different stories, but when you're writing one particular thing and you're focused on it and really focused on it, it frees you. It's liberation. And then it doesn't spill out tainting all the other places in your life. It's pretty fascinating. That's what I've found in my own, you know, personal process of writing all these years.
Yes. And that's how we can grow. It's one aspect that we can bring into our lives that brings healing and growth and moving, well, the potential of humanity too. You know,
yes,
it adds to everybody's growth. Especially when we're sharing and being authentic. I think, you know, that vulnerability is allowing ourselves to be authentic too. And it's so scary to be vulnerable and to show our inner flaws. And we're so scared to do that. And yet when we do.
What a relief, right?
It's a relief. And others are going to go, oh, I felt that way too. You know, you're good.
You know, the other thing about it being in the body is, and this comes up for writers a lot also, about writer's block, or I don't have a good idea, or I can't, you know, I can't think of a story to write or to tell or what have you. Like that's all coming from up in our head somewhere. Mm-hmm. And when you tap into the body, it's right there. It's right there. It's like, we don't have to try to think of anything to write. The body will tell us the story that it wants us to speak, you know? So it kind of bypasses that ego place, which is fabulous.
Yeah, get out of the mind. It reminds me of some body work that some people do. Years and years ago, I did something where somebody had their hand on my shoulder And the release of the emotion that was there was like, there was a story there, you know, that I had no clue before. And so it's kind of a similar thing. Not that you're going to, you know, we're in virtual, we're not going to be touching someone's shoulder, but we can touch our own shoulder or touch into some part of ourselves and see what comes up. What's the emotion there? What's the feeling? And it's going to take some quieting down too, the mind, you know, because our minds go, oh, I don't feel anything. Nothing's going on. Oh, everybody else, I can see everybody else is getting it. I'm not. I don't feel anything.
I've got a couple of tricks to help us get past them through that also, you know. And one of them is one that I learned that many of us have, I'm sure, have learned through Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way, which is, you know, she had us write the morning pages, you know, which is just three pages front and back, nonstop, no matter what. Do not lift the pen off the page. Even if you're saying, this is ridiculous, I hate doing this, why am I doing this? I'm doing this again for the second day. Oh, I think I'll have eggs for breakfast. I mean, it appears to be nothing, but that's just the chatter, 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 and it gets out on the page, and then you drop down, you know, past the blah, blah, the monkey mind, right? Into what's really going on a layer or two underneath. And there's something about doing that, like timed writing. I'm going to do a couple of timed writings where we just keep the pen on the page and keep it going until all that blah, blah, blah is out of the way. And it's exciting, actually, to find what's under there.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
I would imagine too, for people who are listening to this and are thinking of going to your workshop, that they might even do that before the workshop to get some of that, you know, to those exercises.
I do them every day. I write for at least 15 minutes every day, just journaling, just whatever's on my mind, something that happened in a dream or how I'm feeling today or what I'm anxious about or thinking about or worried about, just like to have it, have a place, you know, outside of me. And then I feel like I can kind of go on my day. And then, you know, there are pearls in there too. They'll be like, that's like a hot spot. When I said that, I felt something in there. Like, let me go back. What was that I said? Oh, I'm going to take that sentence, put it on the top of the page. I'm going to free write from that. And that's how you start to deepen your writing practice and sort of follow what's really underneath. And that's the same sort of thing. Like, we can look at what's underneath the consciousness. We can look at underneath is what's deeper inside the body, what's held in our muscles and our organs, in our viscera, you know, in the ligaments that are holding us together, you know, what's in there? What are they thinking, those pieces and parts of us?
Yeah.
What stories are they holding for us?
And there's a lot. Well, this is going to be exciting. I look forward to having this workshop at the conference. I think it'd be very valuable for people. I have one question for you, and that's, I'm asking all the presenters how the workshop, our conference theme fits into your workshop. Celebrating Spirit of Women, United We Are One.
Well, I think we've kind of addressed that a little bit, the United We Are One, because I think what happens when we share those deep stories is we find that sort of relation there. Or we can relate to other women's stories. What was the beginning of that tagline again?
Celebrating Spirit of Women.
Celebrating the Spirit of Women. And that also is like what we were talking about, that it's not that our lives, our spirits are not competitive. Our spirits are here to shine brightly and be as beautiful and as kind and compassionate and empathic and sensitive as we are. You know, we have this whole thing, we're too sensitive, I'm too sensitive, like there's something wrong with that. Instead of sensitivity and empathy and compassion and intuition and emotion, those are skill sets. They're skill sets. And the Spirit of Women holds that skill set. Now we have to become so honed and so brave to fully live them out. And that's how we'll save the world. Small little task, Chris, you know.
Yes. Well, we're all doing our little bit. And it is about, you know, celebrating, honoring that Spirit of Women and knowing it and knowing that we have it and that we have the strength and the courage and the leadership with that. And collectively to tap into that collective knowledge within all of us so that we're not alone in this. We're together and celebrating that. So what would you love the listeners to hear? What would you like to share with them for your last message here for our talk today?
Well, I if you are in any way a wordy nerd like me and you like to play with words, come and let's play with some words. And if you suspect you might be a nerdy word, but your ego is telling you, oh, no, I'm not good at that, then try to override it and show up anyway. And, you know, just show up open-hearted and with a sense of willingness and a good sense of humor. And I think we'll have a really good healing, perhaps cathartic, but also good time. We have a good time. We're gonna write some good stories.
Yeah,
feel the relief of that.
Yeah, it makes me, the words that were coming to me as you were talking is like the gems of our word, the power of our words.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Judith, for being with
us
today.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. It was nice talking with you as always.
Yes, and we will be seeing you March. Yes, yours is Saturday, March 13th.
March 13th.
Everybody can go. Oh, please give your websites.
Oh, you can contact me at judithlaxer.com or gaiastemple.org. It's G-A-I-A-S temple.org. So that's my ministry and my private practice. And those are the ways to reach me. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. And also everybody check out womanofwisdom.org for all the offerings of the conference. There's going to be some great, wonderful community connections that people can interact with people in between workshops, make new friends in a workshop, and then go have a chat with them in the community board, all sorts of fun activities. There's more that you can do virtually than you're aware of. It's not just a Zoom call. It's going to be more than that. So we look forward to seeing you in March.
Thank you.